Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
On the air on Hockey Central at noon, welcome everybody. Today we will chat about the Montreal Canadiens and what happened last night against the New York Rangers, a win and a loss when you consider the victory on the scoreboard and then Carey Price goes down. Two significant injuries for the Canadiens, the top team in the National Hockey League. Also get over to the Toronto Maple Leafs. James Reimer will be back practicing, he says. The Toronto Maple Leafs hope tomorrow ahead of a Saturday date. And we give our friends south of the border an acknowledgement, an American Thanksgiving, by wondering what our seven Canadian teams are thankful for at the quarter pole of this National Hockey League season. Darren Millard in studio along with Nick Kyprios and Scott Morrison.
Happy Thanksgiving to our American
and
friends.
And I loved playing for U.S. team because you get two Thanksgivings, Canadian and American. My mom and dad would always come down American Thanksgiving. We'd have all the single guys, the ones that didn't
sing that for me,
have a family, would come over. There's a Thanksgiving song,
Beyonce.
We got 1 year, Ally Frady came over.
Single ladies.
I can't sing.
Okay.
Al May. Mm-hmm. It was great. Two Thanksgivings in one year.
So there's three of you.
Who else do we have? Brian Noonan, Steve Leach. It was fun.
My cultural reference, one of the great movies of all time, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, was about
those aren't pillows?
Yeah, exactly. How about those bears? And then the other one was WKRP in Cincinnati when they had the toss the turkey from a plane promotion and Arthur Carlson, God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
I just shared that on Facebook last week. There's a 7-8 minute snippet of it, and it started with Les doing his remote and getting kicked out.
Oh, the humanity.
and right through to the end. But Les talking about the ones that survived, then turned on them.
Yeah.
And that is...
And the plane coming over, he says, and it seems to have a banner behind it. It says, Happy Thanksgiving. One of the great ones.
It should be a rite of passage.
It should be like the Christmas shows that they air every year on the day. But two classics.
WKRP.
12-year-olds at home are going, I have no idea.
They have no idea. But
that's what the internet's for.
Yeah, Google it.
Use it for good. Use it for good, not evil. There is no game scheduled. This is a dark night in the National Hockey League and the NBA. But for the National Hockey League, I also consider this family day. Then we can all just kind of, after this show, just shut it down for a day.
And, yeah, really?
A lot of the
watch football.
Won't even practice or, watch football, go to a movie. You don't feel like you're skipping work or missing out and everything. So
was it a dark night last year? Do we know on Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
Is this a first time thing?
No, traditionally American teams don't play, but Canadian teams have hosted games. I don't remember it being.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't remember the whole league being shut down, but I love it too.
Was that a question?
It was a full question. I have not a clue if this has happened before.
It's a good idea.
And you're not sure either.
I don't know.
But you masked it well with the Canadian thing.
Well, Canadian. Why wouldn't Canadian teams play?
Yeah. They already had their Thanksgiving.
I know they did.
And might have played on it.
But the NBA also shuts down today, so it's going in that direction.
Well, it's our American friends. No, I mean, this is their biggest holiday. It's arguably bigger than than Christmas as a family event.
And just the airports.
Yeah, and 4 days of shutting down.
13 games yesterday, 12 games tomorrow. Montreal Canadiens beat up on the New York Rangers. Let's talk about Carey Price first, and then we'll get into the performance by Devontae Smith-Pelly and moving up to that top line and where the Canadians are right now. But two significant things happened yesterday. Carey Price was injured, and Mark Bergevin signed a long-term contract. we still don't know yet the severity of this injury.
But no,
and it is related to what kept him out.
Yes, they confirmed that last night. We had talked about it on Wednesday Night Hockey, and to me now this sets up a different scenario, a different strategy moving forward with the same injury here. So,
what do you mean by that?
Well, there's two choices here. You can continue to just stay on the path that you were before and give him more time to heal, or you elect to do something else, i.e. if it's needed, a scope, something to clean something up is my guess in terms of where this is.
If it's a knee.
Yeah. And I mean, you watch him, is it an ankle or is it a knee? The groin, whatever the case is.
More around the hip area.
You know, a hip would be something a lot more complicated.
And hip can be related to groin as well.
So you didn't like the first time when you heard that he was going to New York to seek an opinion.
That's what complicates it to me is that when he sought the second opinion because it wasn't healing for what, in his terms, it was fast enough. And he went to New York for the second opinion, comes back for two games, and gets injured into the third game.
This is concerning.
Yeah, it's a recurring injury. So then you're automatically concerned. And now I think from Mark Bergevin's perspective, and I was thinking this, and you know, I see a lot of Canadians games from the regionals, is, you know, Condon did a real nice job for them filling in for those nine games while Price was hurt. The last two or three, we started to see a few cracks in his game, and that's understandable, heavy workload. And defensively, they got a little bit suspect. But I wonder now, sitting in the manager's chair, do you think about going out and, to your point, if he needs a procedure or you want to give him a procedure or just give him extra time, do you go out and try and find a little bit more experienced goaltender, to add to your organization? Doesn't have to displace Condon, but just to give you that extra protection.
But you got to falter. I got to know that carries out a long time, and I've got to see the team falter with Condon before I even consider going to get somebody
and
else.
Dustin Tokarski was the backup the last couple of years. He might get some time because they didn't play him at all.
Yep.
Yoni Ortio has cleared waivers from the Calgary Flames.
They're just nervous now. Teams are nervous. They're up against the cap. They don't want to add any more. They've got long-term that they play with. They truly don't know the implications of that moving forward. Gallagher's out. There's talk about, would they go get somebody else? No, that's a deadline situation. They're just gonna patch up within.
But the right side has been a concern for them.
Yes.
All year.
And
so
I
that's why I thought they might address that a little bit sooner than the trade deadline.
I don't think there's anything there, Darren, in all honesty. And when you're talking about that type of concern, you're talking about a top six guy. You're talking about trying to add maybe a contract that's about to expire that's heavy, i.e. Eric Staal. That happens in March. That's not going to happen in December.
Devontae Smith-Pelly gets promoted to the top line with Thomas Plekanec and Max Pacioretty. Goes out and scores a couple of goals. And you don't think that this is a long-term solution?
No, I don't know if...
Like 6 weeks. You don't think he can stay there for 6 weeks?
You know what? He may, Darren. He may, because like I said, there's no other solutions within or outside of the organization. It has to come within. So... good start. Can he grow with that type of confidence? Maybe. Do we see him ultimately as a top six guy? I don't think I'm with Doug McLean in terms of I don't see that in the near future. But right now, it ain't broken, so leave it the way it is.
They tried him on the second line with Eller and Galchenyuk, and they felt that he was better back on the fourth line.
Yeah.
Seven different guys that he didn't have the skill to play on that wing, that they needed a finisher. But maybe on that first line, he can sustain it longer because the skill can go the other direction. Mm-hmm. The patch ready to be the finisher, and he can be the energy guy to go in there, bump, grind, get pucks.
And that's the new NHL now, where in my era, you couldn't have fourth line guys step up and play that role on a real consistent basis, patchwork like that. Now it's like, you know, the whole league's built that way. You got fourth line energy guys that are good skaters, and in a pinch they can move down and grab some success.
And so far of the seven, I mean, Mitchell had a little bit of success on the right wing on that second line before he got hurt, but Andrighetto has been the best of the experiments there, so see if he can sustain it.
Sven. The New York Rangers get drilled by the Montreal Canadiens. That's twice this year that Montreal's handled the Rangers pretty handily.
Well, and the Rangers have a good record to start the first quarter of the season, but anyone you talk to, they weren't overly happy with their team outside of Lundqvist, and we've said...
Well, Broussard, Zuccarello, and Nash have been good.
Zuccarello's been good. The other ones have been okay, but no one stepped out and is having great seasons yet. They're going to need somebody eventually to step up here. And then behind that, Kreider and Hayes haven't been able to do what we thought that they could do coming off good playoff runs, mm-hmm. where they looked like they were ready for the next step. Kreider should be a 30-40 goal scorer based on the flashes that we've seen in the past, and not quite ready there. So outside of that,
Lindbergh has been a nice surprise for them, but
he's tailed off too.
Yeah,
right?
No question.
So it's been Lundqvist. Lundqvist has saved their bacon.
Pulled for the first time.
Could not do it last night.
What do you make? Let's slide over to Sidney Crosby and Mary Lemieux and the comments by Matthew Barnaby yesterday saying that there was a falling out. I'll dive into this with you guys. The captain calls the report ridiculous. The owner via Twitter and the Penguins Twitter account said it's silly. But... okay, why would Matthew Barnaby then say that?
Well, listen, I don't know what he's heard or who he's hearing it from. It's obvious he wouldn't say anything unless he believed that there's something there. But, you know, I don't know typically. It's someone both Scott and I, you know, talked to and broken stories and been down that path. For me, I look at this one and I go, okay, how many stories in the past have been broken about falling outs or rifts? And I don't know what exactly that means in terms of...
How do you quantify that?
I get if there's a falling out or a rift that leads to someone being asked to be traded, a contract situation, a stalemate there, something that there just seems to be of substance, more substance than just a falling out. Like, you know, we've had falling outs. We've all had types of rifts. You should have seen my reaction when I found out the buffet on Saturday nights is no longer there. I mean, if someone was in the room, they thought me and Mitch Kirzner would be, you know, never speak to each other ever again.
Mitch is our boss.
Right? So, when there's a falling out, you freeze people out.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I got to be honest with you. I've never been frozen out before in my life better than this guy right here. It's something of beauty. Both Doug and I have experienced the freeze out.
Yeah.
Now, the question is like, is this fallout from Mario? Is Mario frozen out, Sid? Is that where we're at now? Right?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Like, could they have had a disagreement over what works on the power play, what doesn't. I mean, those are
normal. But how much interaction do they have? No, their relationship is
Mario's
unique.
Mario's not on a day-to-day basis with the team. He's not there managing the team in any way, shape, or form.
But their relationship is unique because Sidney lived
8 years
with the Lemieux family.
8 years, not 8 weeks, not 8 months, 8 years. He's part of the fabric of that family and will always be. So, again, I don't know, Scott, what rift or falling out means.
No, to your point, Nick, the unknown in all of this is what's the severity of the fallout. When you say big fallout, how severe is it? And does it impact on Sid's ability to play, apparently not last night. Does it impact on his interest in staying with the franchise long-term? Those are the questions. That's the only real fallout, if you will, from the fallout that I think is significant in all of this. If they've had an argument and gone their separate ways, then that shouldn't change anything in the day-to-day of that hockey team.
If it was just strictly talking about fallouts and rifts, can we not gone back, you know, in history and reported on coaches, players, general managers, coaches, yeah, owners, general managers, and sit there and reported, you know, this general manager's got an issue with his coach, like all day long. We hear it. We hear it all the time.
Well, Joe Thornton, Doug Wilson, they had a falling out.
Are we really going to start that type of reporting now moving forward?
Well, in teams have won Stanley Cups, you were part of one where some players didn't like the coach very much. There's teams that have won Stanley Cups and been successful where a player on this side of the room really didn't like the guy on the other side of the room, didn't have any business with him away from the ice. Yeah. But once they got on the ice, you put that stuff behind.
Sidney goes out and scores a couple of goals.
I can understand too, Mario. He's like, you know, Mario, we haven't heard from Mario in a few years, right? He's been low key here, but he's got to respond to this. This came from the NHL Network. It wasn't some blog. I mean, they got a
satellite radio. Yeah,
they satellite radio. NHL Network. NHL people. Network's got a prominent place in the States. He had to make some sort of reaction.
We'll get to just Dave Morissette's on the line here. But what do you think Matthew Barnaby's going through today? Phone blown up.
Yeah, we've been down there. We've been down that path, Scott. Should I have said it? Should I have said it?
It's Mario.
They didn't say it was wrong. They just said it was silly.
Silly. Dave Morissette, TV Canadiens analyst, is with us. Thanks for joining the program.
Hi, guys.
Have you ever had a falling out with your manager or anybody? Like Sidney Crosby and Mario Lemieux, reportedly? And how do you handle it?
Have you been talking to Crosby?
No, have you ever had a falling out with somebody? We're talking about Sidney Crosby and Mario Lemieux and that reported falling out yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't heard about it. Oh, I've been sorry last week was Guy Lafleur saying that Sidney should get traded, should ask for a trade. So I don't know if it started the whole fight, but you know what? I haven't, haven't heard much.
You know what? Those are discussions when you underachieve as a team and as an organization. Those questions were going to start anyways. They really were. And then you factor in that the team is for sale.
Malkin comes out,
and a new ownership group may come in and say, "Well, I don't want to spend that much money, and I've got assets. I'm going to sell the assets." All of that conversation was going to come in play, regardless of whether Matt Barnaby made this report.
Dave, what are you hearing regarding Carey Price's condition? We know that it's the injury is related to the previous ailment that kept him out, but anything more specific?
Well, you know what? It doesn't look good because, you know, when he got hurt a couple of weeks ago, you know, he asked for a second opinion and, you know, he came back from New York and he said, well, you know what? Everything is fine. I'm just going to, you know, take it slow. Mike Condon was doing well, but, you know, the guys I've talked today and even last night, you know, everybody was, you know, asking, oh, is it the same injury? And it seems like, you know, what I heard is like he's got a couple of injuries. Yes, that's the same injuries that maybe last night I heard again. But you know what? He's been icing a couple part of his lower body. So, but it doesn't look too good. And the thing is, you know what? We all know it. Carey Price is the best right now, but I'm not sure that, you know, Mike Condon's been doing well, but I'm not sure he can do it for months. You know, and for Montreal, you know, the short term they'll be all right with Tkachuk and Condon, but long term, I don't think they'll be.
Do you think, Dave, that the team's better equipped mentally if he does disappear for the next little while than they were the first time, based on maybe people from the outside saying, well, this isn't really a one-man band as we thought it was with just Carey and everyone else?
Yeah, but you know what, Nick? I think they proved it. They proved it last night. You know, Carey was there, but Gallagher was hurt. Last week, you know what? Condon was in the net for, what, 9 games when Carey hurt himself in Edmonton. Condon did pretty good the first 5 games. The last 4 before Carey came back against New York, that was hard. That was hard because, you know what, you can never replace Price. But I think last night against New York, that's what they were trying to prove, you know. The Gallagher wasn't there. Andre Ghetto stepped in. I was surprised to see see the way Smith Pelly played with Pacioretty yesterday and Plekanec. But Canadian without Price, when Condon jumped in, you know what, the first 5 games, it was like we here in Montreal, we didn't talk about Price. We forgot about Price. And the game against Colorado when they lost, I think it was 5-6-1. We're like, oh, okay. I mean, and the game after against Pittsburgh, that was hard too. So, you know what? Yeah, I think there's a lot of confidence in this team. But Carey is Carey long term. I don't think, you know, Montreal can. You know what? We hear a lot about the Stanley Cup in Montreal and. Even Michel Therrien talks about it a lot, but without Carey, I don't think it's possible.
Well, those last 3 games that Condon played, I think Canadians were down 3-0 in all of those games early in the second period. So you think they should go out and get a little bit of experienced insurance in goal?
Well, I don't know what I was reading about. I don't know, in Toronto, they tried to trade the Reimer, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think, Condon did well. Tokarski has a lot to prove because he did well. He did well last year, but he lost his job in camp. And you guys know how it is. He comes to camp, I think he didn't see it coming. He didn't see Condon come, and Condon came prepared. You know, a guy who comes from the university, played in the East Coast 2 years ago, jumped in and stole his job. That's the way it works. And you know what? I think that for Tokarski, that's the time for him. I don't think Condon's going to play the way he played his first 5 games. When you look at his past, the guy didn't play. Condon, for me, it was a big surprise. He didn't play a lot of games. So, I think Tokarski is going to jump in. If, is it a month? Is it 2 months? Is Carey Price going to need surgery? That's what we're going to ask, So that's what we got to know. If it's 2 months, I think they're all right. If talking about, from now until the rest of the season, they might think about it. But I don't think, you look at Mark Bergevin, what he's done the last couple of years. He traded, but he never hurt himself long term. So I don't think he's going to give more, much to get a goalie with experience with Carey Price in the lineup.
TVI Canadiens analyst Dave Morissette is with us on Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Scott Morrison in the studio. You mentioned Mark Bergevin. He got to enjoy that new long-term contract for 2 periods last night before Carey Price goes down, and now he's right up against the heat of the fire right now. But Mark Bergevin is an interesting guy. We know him as a player, and he had a lot of fun. But now he's the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens onto a second contract and long-term contract. Did you see him evolving this way?
You know what I like about Mark? He came in Montreal and, guy from Montreal. He brought back, the people are proud, People are proud of the little guy from Pointe-Saint-Claire from Montreal. Comes in, jumps in, and he's humble. He makes joke. Pierre Gauthier didn't talk to anybody. He was acting like he was, He wasn't. People didn't feel like he was part of the part. He was a little bit weird, Mm-hmm. But Mark Bergevin, that's the truth. And Mark Bergevin comes in, and talking about with the guys he works with, Mark can make a joke, he can laugh. He's really humble, like I said. But when he comes to work, he knows what he's doing. He worked with the best. He played the game. He understands the guys. I talked to most of the guys and some of the guys I played with in the past. And you talk about Mark Bergevin, he comes and goes, he talks to the guys. He can even sometimes, I remember when the Bork had problem in Montreal, he was the one talking to Ronnie Bork. And on the manager side, you know, he worked with the best around the league. He worked with the best in Chicago. And look at what he's done the last couple of years, the signature, what he's just, if we talk about Subban, the way he handled Subban's contract, you know, he waited 2 years just to make sure he was fine, just to make sure that P.K. Subban could handle the money. I think that was the goal. And the way he signed Pacioretty, I mean, Pacioretty, when you look at the salary around the league, you know, that's a pretty good signing. The way he went to get the Petrie for nothing, you know. Like I said, he made some good moves. He let go contracts like you talk about Cole or Rennie Bork was a contract that they let go. You know, I can't believe they find somebody to trade him, you know. But he's been doing a great job. But he's one of the people feel like he's one of the boys, you know. But he can be serious too.
Hey, Dave, what's the feeling now in Montreal? Because we've seen them the last little while compete in the Eastern Conference, and you know, yet we sit there and go that this team continues to get better. But would now there be more pressure on Mark now to take a look around the league and say, hey, maybe a Stanley Cup in the next year or two is a lot more wide open than we would have thought. And maybe we need to do this now. You know, Carey Price has still got a couple years left on his contract. But,
yeah,
you know, when he re-signs, that negotiation might not be as easy as PK's, if you know where he could go. So is now the time for Mark to kind of strike?
I think, you know what? I think he's going to do it. That's a good question, Nick, because, you know, talking with Mark last year, you know, he always talked about his team, and he said, my team is not ready yet, or a young team. We're in a transition. That's not the way he talked this year. You know, you look at what this team is doing now, and, you know, you look at just defense, you know. You talk about Subban, Markov, Gilbert is doing great. Yemlin came back yesterday. Beaulieu, Petrie. I mean, the Canadian, they're scoring goals right now, but it comes from the back. You know what? If you don't get the puck, we're talking about Sidney Crosby. And you know what? You get Letang in Pittsburgh, but who else is going to give the puck to Crosby? In Montreal, you know what? You should see them skate. You know, they're a fast team. You know, they're not big. They don't hit much.
They're quick.
They're quick on the puck. And you know what? Michel Therrien coached me for 2 years in the minors. And you know what? Michel is I just think we talk about a lot about Mark Bergevin, but we don't talk enough about Michel Therrien, because you know what? Michel seems like the guy who's hard on everybody and then doesn't talk to anybody, but he knows how to get the best of every player. He knows, and you know what? If you give him everything, you'll play on the power play, on the PK. It didn't work with me, but it'll make you, you know what? You'll be happy, and that's what he does. That's why, you know what, they brought Semien this year, and you know what, everybody's like, oh, you know what, that's a little gamble. But I knew from the start it wasn't going to work, because the guys who played for Michel, they know him. Look at all the young guys they played for. Look at P.K. Subban and ask him about Michel Therrien. Michel's been hard on him, but does he like him now? He loves him now. Same thing with Pacioretty. A guy like Semien cannot come in Montreal and expect to play a lot. You know, Semien is Semien, you know. First of all, he's not quick enough. He's not fast enough for the team, the way they play. And you cannot have a guy playing for Michel who decides to play one shift out of five, you know. So, but Michel has been doing a great job, and he's respected. Hey, he's not the funniest guy ever, but he does a great job. And, Nick, to answer your question, I think Mark's going to go all the way this year. I think he wants to go all the way, and that's the year. I mean, he made some big changes last year. You got to remember that when Georges left and Gionta left, we're like, okay, you know, he's going, he's betting on new guys, but it's working now.
Dave Morissette from TV Sports, Canadiens analyst. When you played in the minors, was that with Colby Armstrong?
No. Colby wasn't there. I played, you know what, Nick doesn't remember, but I get drafted in Washington.
Yes, I do remember.
I remember, Dave. The first thing I saw when I got to training camp was Nick Kiprios working out with Ali Afradi, shirt off. I was like, oh, my God, what is that?
I was cut.
Oh, man, you were a machine.
Dave's a tough guy, man.
Yeah.
Dave's a tough guy.
Yeah, I know. I signed in Montreal in, was it 98, you know, 27 years old. And he gave me my break. So Michel called me. Actually, you know what? The story is funny because Michel Tanier called me. I was playing in Houston for Dave Tippett. And Michel Tanier called me at home and he's like, you know what? Michel Tanier, I'm coaching in Fredericton. I was like, oh, yeah, I know you are. He said, are you really tough? That's a question he asked me. He said, are you really tough? What do you answer, Nick?
Yes, I am.
I would say, do you want to find out?
Yes.
I said, yeah, I think I am. And he says, you know, he asked me, he said, are you the kind of guy that I have to tell him to go or you go when it's time? I said, well, you know what? I never had a coach tell me to go. Well, maybe I'm junior a couple of times. I said, you know, but Dave Tippett, I played for Dave Tippett for 2 years. And I know how much the guys like him, but Dave Tippett never told me once. He put me on the ice, and sometimes I would ask Dave, you know what, and the IHL was tough back then, and I asked him, I said, well, I need to go on the ice, you know, I need to do something. He was like, oh, yeah, really? Okay, go on. But, yeah, that was funny, because Michel, I told him, yeah, I think, no, you won't have to tell me. He said, all right, perfect, and you know what, a couple of months after, I was in the lineup for Montreal, so great memories.
That's so
a
great story. An update from John Bartlett's Twitter account that Carey Price is expected to miss at least 1 week.
At least 1 week. There's news there.
That's good news. 1 week is good news.
Yeah.
At least 1 week.
Yeah.
Dave Morissette, that's fun. Didn't expect to go down memory lane, but that's a really cool story. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You're doing a great job, yeah. Dave.
Hey, thanks, guys. You guys are doing a great job. Hopefully we'll see you at the Winter Classic. I'll be there.
Yeah. Say hi to Louis Jean for us.
Okay, I will. Louis is doing great, man. He's making a lot of money in Quebec.
Then he'll be happy.
That's what he tells me every day.
Thanks to Dave Morissette, TV Sports Canadian analyst.
He got a couple of games, I think, with Baltimore, and then he went down to the ECHL. But he
was a tough one.
You noticed him when he walked in the room, too. He's a big guy.
So what's with the shirts?
Off.
You had the shirt rolled up.
We had a gun contest. Me and Al Afradi had a gun contest.
You had the nicer hair.
That guy was ripped.
Is it not a gun show? Or is it a gun contest?
Yeah, it's a gun contest. Gun show. Whatever.
Gong show and gun contest.
God almighty.
When we continue.
Can't get away with anything here.
Well, they're Kippyisms.
Kipperisms. Gum on my shoe. The beach. Hey, Scott. Give me directions to the beach.
Doing it with smoking glass.
Let's go to break.
When we continue. In honor of our friends south of the border on American Thanksgiving, we go through the list of what the seven Canadian teams are thankful for at the quarter poll. Also bring you up to date with what happened last night in the NHL. It's Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go! Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Overtime on Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, Scott Morrison with you on this American Thanksgiving. Everybody enjoy the football today. It's a dark night in the NHL and the NBA. I don't know why I keep mentioning the NBA.
I don't know.
We don't either.
And for the record, there was one game last year. On Thanksgiving.
Who played?
I don't know.
Well, how do you know there's one game?
I had my crack research staff? Guy send me a note, and that would be Matt Marstrom.
You didn't?
One game last year. That's all he sent me. Hey, Matt, don't be scared to tell me which teams.
You didn't expect the follow-up?
No.
Who played?
No.
Apparently he didn't either.
Incredible. Incredible.
I'm going to guess it was Vancouver and San Jose.
I'm going to go with Vancouver and Calgary. Two Canadian teams.
I'm just going to go Vancouver, Ottawa.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
Based on nothing.
Yeah, he said a U.S. team.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Maybe it could have been a U.S. team, one U.S. team.
You're still caught up in your gun contest with Dave Morissette. What the seven Canadian teams are thankful for at the quarter mark of the season. Let's start with the Toronto Maple Leafs return to action on Saturday. Still don't know the status of James Reimer, but he is going to try and practice tomorrow. It's a day off today. So what are the Toronto Maple Leafs thankful for?
Do you want to go?
No, you go ahead, Scott.
I think they're thankful that this isn't an unmitigated disaster that last season ended, that they've been able to lose with dignity and play with some pride this year.
A record of 7-10-5 at American Thanksgiving.
They've made it palatable for the fans.
You know what? I'll say Babcock, that they were able to sign him. You know, say what you will, but this team and the organization lack credibility. He gives you that. He gave you that. He gave you the belief in this team that it wasn't as bad as historically it went down last year. Mm. One of the worst ever. And, you know, are they going to make the playoffs? Probably not. But are they in games? Are they making people believe that every guy on the team doesn't stink? Yeah, he's doing that.
Yeah, we're on the same page with that one. He's the reason for it being palatable right now.
Well, considering that the goaltender that started the season as your number one netminder doesn't have a win, I think they're thankful for James Reimer. Montreal Canadiens, what are they thankful for? We have to kind of speed this up a little bit.
Yes.
Right now, Mike Condon playing as well as he did, coming out of nowhere to play as well as he has this season.
PK Subban playing the best hockey of his career.
And thankful that he is PK, and I get it. Sometimes people get
rubbed
the wrong way because he is more of a personality that we're accustomed to. But
don't you think he's lower key?
Yes, I think he's maturing. Mm-hmm. No question about it. And I'm with you. He's playing great hockey. Like, thankful that, you know, someone in your community would spend $10 million towards a hospital. Come on. Doesn't get any better than that.
Ottawa Senators beat the Dallas Stars, and then they roll up another win last night against the Colorado Avalanche, scoring goals like crazy. I'm going to go with Mark Stone, who I know cooled off, but is finding the net again and is following up what was a Calder Trophy finalist season.
You know, and I'll say Brian Murray and the inspiration that he's brought that organization, and it would be easy for Brian to say, you know what, I'm gonna go away. I'm just gonna do different things. But his love and passion to be around the team and to just show the guys that he's in the trenches as much as they are. I think they're very thankful that Brian still brings it every day to the rink.
Excellent.
Yeah, I would agree with Brian as well. And you got to throw Carlson into that mix.
Winnipeg Jets, what are they thankful for? 3 points out of a playoff spot at this point of the season. And it's a scenario that they didn't expect to be in at the end of October.
I think they're thankful that it's only the quarter pole of the season, that they've got a lot of time and nobody's pulled away, that they can fix this thing before it gets too late.
Yeah. I'll say Big Buff, and I know the talk in the past has been about a guy that, you know, the biggest burning question was how heavy will he be in training camp, or how big can he get during the season? He's turned himself into a dominant player, a guy that can control a game, and we know that there's not that many out there, and whether or not he resigns or he doesn't, he's still a tremendous asset today for the Winnipeg Jets. I think they're thankful that he's turned into a great player.
Some teams you watch for the team, but Dustin Byfuglien is a guy that you tune into a Winnipeg Jet game, and I don't think it's too far to say you tune in to see what he's going to do.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Waiting for him to manhandle somebody, make a big play.
You know, and he's got to be 265, 270, and that's a good weight. he's played, I think, over 300 at times. I think he's been over 300 pounds. To watch him, even at 260, skate up and down the ice and shoot the puck and make these plays that you'd see from a 5'10", 160-pound guy, to me, brings me out of my seats.
I don't want to be
seat. I'm only in one.
Yeah, let that one go. I did let that one go.
You know what? I only said that because I knew you were going to come at me, and I wanted to get it in before you did.
Let that one go. I'm glad they don't play in a pond anymore.
It's a fold-out seat.
Calgary Flames.
Johnny Hockey. Fun to watch every night, and he really stirs that drink.
Sean Monahan, who they got with the 6th pick overall, I think, and just be able to do what he's done in such a short period of time. You hope if Sam Bennett can follow in those footsteps in his first couple of years, they've got franchise pieces there.
Edmonton Oilers lost last night against the Carolina Hurricanes. Neil Yakupov went down, a weird collision with Mike Matheson. McPherson, the linesman. So what?
You're thankful for McDavid because even though he's hurt, you've seen the future, and the future is going to be real good.
You know what? I'd be thankful for them. That new building coming. And I lived through the era of watching these new buildings. And I'm fortunate enough to say I played in a lot of the original 6 buildings. But that new building is going to be spectacular. And it's going to be, it's so not cookie cutter. It's everything that the other buildings are not. And that is just, like,
you know what? It's
going to be an event just to go to the building, not watch the
that
event.
Whole district's going to be something.
It's
you know what it reminds me of? Camden Yards.
It'll be the best indoor facility in the world.
Right. The way baseball stadiums are built, and then what they did around there. It's.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Yeah, that the arena district. The Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver with a big win last night against the Minnesota Wild. Radim Verbata with a couple of goals. Ryan Miller locked it down. It was chaos at the end of the game.
The Canucks are thankful for John Garrett cheering them on and reminding them that they're going to be Stanley Cup champions every year.
And the Twins, it's like having Thanksgiving twice.
Yes.
Right?
Good point.
Yep. And come on. Well, look at what they've done the last 15 years there.
Did you see To the Point last night when Doug McLean went on about how they're from Skellefteå?
Yes.
Yeah. They're not from Skellefteå.
No.
Yeah.
Don't ruin a good story.
No.
Canucks are also grateful for the Pacific Division.
Oh, yes.
Keeping a lot of teams in the hunt.
You wouldn't have said that last year?
No.
Year before?
No.
That's a... I didn't see that coming.
No. The fall off?
Yeah. Well, Anaheim really threw it for a curveball with their start.
What's going on there?
And then they look fine. They're getting there. They're starting to come into their comfort zone now. The big boys have woken up. 5 helpers, and it could have been 6 or 7 for Getzlav.
So are you going to celebrate Thanksgiving today?
My wife and kids just came back from the States, so they did their turkey already with my in-laws in Florida. But we'll have something a little special here, maybe just a turkey sandwich or something. What? That's because I'm responsible.
You're doing the cooking?
I'm doing the cooking.
We're going to do something special.
Yes.
A turkey sandwich. So you're going to the grocery store, and you're going to buy a pre-made turkey sandwich too, aren't you?
I cooked the other night. I can't put 2 in a row together.
What'd you cook?
I did fish. I did a sole fish.
On the Barbie?
No, pan fried.
We have 12 games tomorrow in the National Hockey League.
It was good.
Well, you've got nothing to do today. There's no games.
It's football day.
Football games.
I'm going to go home and watch some football.
But there's no hockey.
You're going to be okay.
I PVR'd your show last night. I'll go back and watch it again.
It was good.
Yeah, the panel was excellent.
Elliot Friedman joined us last night.
Yes.
We had Derek Dorsett's grade 6 teacher quoted on the show, Mr. Oscar. So it was, we covered all the bases. 3 games. I was busy. Nick didn't even make the second intermission.
I couldn't even get in.
You couldn't squeeze in.
I couldn't get in.
Wait, and Doug finally lost to the
to
point.
To the point.
Yeah. Although
he's devastated, by the way.
Yes.
He takes it seriously. He's the only one that
he thinks he's going to use it for negotiations.
Happy Thanksgiving.